Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you as always. The entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. So let it be as we hear your word. May we engage in the spirit to get the understanding and the benefits that you have us, that you want us to have. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning again, everyone. The house that wisdom built and her seven pillars. I'm doing just an overview this morning. To get into each of those pillars might take weeks. and I will let the Lord direct which of them I dive into later on. But today I want to give a general overview. You know, and we're going to just read through some scriptures. And I have to tell you what wisdom, according to the scriptures, you know, some of the overall benefits. We already looked at his attributes. And then we'll see what the Lord has to tell us. Right away, we start here at, I'm going to read some text for us in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 1. This is where we start from. And actually, that's where this subject title comes from. How that wisdom has built her house. Hewn out her seven pillars. Glory to God. Wisdom, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1, has builded her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. And that's all that verse is. Doesn't really get into what it is that those pillars are, but we're going to find it out from some other places in the Bible. Powerful stuff. As a matter of fact, if you listen and practice some of these things that are in these lessons, your life will never be the same. You know, now faith for the realm of moving things in the supernatural, wisdom for managing it, those things upon the earth. Hallelujah. So you may have faith. You can, you know, be a mover and a shifter of things in the spirit. But if you don't have wisdom to manage even the things that you are able to get through faith, it's not going to turn out very well. So these two things go together. Now let's read a few scriptures as a background. I'm going to tell you something about wisdom. I want to read Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to read from verses 5 to 13. Now this is an instruction for us to follow. I mean, think of it like our father is talking to his children. Well, God is our father. Here are you children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. I jump here to verse 5. Get wisdom. This is Proverbs 4 and verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve you. Love her, and she shall keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Well, that's one punchline here already this morning. It is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, that's wisdom, and she shall promote you. She shall bring you honor when you embrace her. What else will she give you? She will give to your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Isn't that beautiful? Well, we're going to practicalize it as we go through. But these are just some very high level view of the things that wisdom can deliver into our house. Now listen to this. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 to 6. Proverbs 24, verses 3 to 6. I'm going slow so that we can catch up. Through wisdom is an house built. Now that's it. A house that wisdom built. And by understanding it is established. And by knowledge Now, after you build a house and now you establish it, well, you got to put some things in there, right? By knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Wow. Glory to God. So, those are some of the things that wisdom can bring into our lives. Now, many parts of these wisdom series, which we are calling pillars today, the Bible actually calls them so. Let's look at those pillars, then I'll tell you something else in a minute. These pillars can actually be found, most of them, in Proverbs chapter 8. We read verses 12 and 14. You'll find most of these seven pillars are contained right there. So let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 8. Hallelujah. And let's look at verse 12. I, wisdom, now this is wisdom speaking. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. So that's number one. You see, prudence is there. I found out knowledge of witty inventions. Knowledge is there. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is there. And arrogancy and the evil way, the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is there. So you see, counsel is part of it. Sound wisdom. Well, I call that sound judgment. I am also understanding. And so he brings together all these things and I have strength. Well, let me put it to you this way. What are pillars in a house? I say that they are load-bearing columns that hold up the structure of the house. And sometimes when you see cracks, and the cracks are what we're going to be dealing with here. When you see cracks in the house, they could very well be traced to one or more defects in the pillars. You know, there are cracks that may be in our lives right now or might have been there, you know, and they're probably due to the weakness or even the lack of these pillars in the life. So if you're saying that your life has cracks, now oftentimes these cracks, what are these cracks? They can lead to regrets, delays, disappointments, failures, sickness, lack of advancement, severe losses, you know, big cracks in our lives and bring all this in. People can lose their jobs, they lose their wealth, broken marriages, etc. Because there are cracks. These cracks in the pillars, wisdom was not being held up correctly. Now, together, all these pillars hold up and give what's called strength to the house that wisdom is building. Now, strength is not, you know, in my book, really one of the pillars, but it's, you know, this combination of all these things that give the strength to wisdom. Now, you can hear this series of wisdom from many people. I have listened to other preachers. I gained some wisdom, but I came up with mine. Some people have different pillars. Yeah, it's my set of seven pillars. And as you go through these, I will be talking about them. I'll be amazed if you pull out these. And some of you have heard these things. When you first heard them, I mean, your life was greatly inspired. But a few months go back, you forget. You're back to some of your old ways. No, you know, you got to come back and listen to this wisdom and the teachings that wisdom brings to us. So I have seven of these pillars. I came up with some kind of acronym to help us remember. Not in any particular order, you know, but just some acronym to help us remember. So there, since there are seven of them, my acronym that I came up with is KUPDCSF. Just kind of rhymes, but it's not in that order. Actually, the first of them is the F, which is the fear of the Lord. And a few weeks ago, I actually did a lesson in this room that I titled, The Fear of the Lord, A Heart of Gold, something like that. You can look it up in the replays section. K is for knowledge, U is for understanding, P is for prudence, D is for discretion, C is for counsel, S is for sound judgment, F is for the fear of the Lord. Like I said, not necessarily in that order. I just put it together that way because it helps me to remember. Because there was even a local station here in Arizona, and their call letters were KUPD. I don't know whether they're still there or not. But anyway, so I said, oh, you know, if I say KUPD, it'll help me to remember. I like to use acronyms. KUPDCSF. So those are the pillars. And each one of these pillars, we can take a whole day, not just an hour, actually a whole day, hours to talk on each one of these pillars. But I'm going to condense the lesson so that we don't go more than an hour for my speaking today, and then let you contribute. But as we come back, I'll probably take an hour, pick out one or more of these pillars. And if the Lord moves on me, I may do them all. You know, some of them are so incredible. And you wonder sometimes, if you've never heard this before, quite like this, you wonder why. And I remember when I taught this at a church, local church here in Arizona, some people said, wow, I wish I heard this 15 years ago or whatever. You know, well, you're hearing it now. So if you hear it now, take advantage of it. You know, what's amazing about wisdom is that, and faith, let me put it to you this way. Faith is my favorite all-time subject. You know, that's just my thing. So, and, you know, I preach this faith thing every which way you can think about. Now, wisdom is a great complement to faith. They're not opposite to each other. They work together. Let me give you an example. And here again are some of the comparisons of punchlines for faith versus, I don't want to say faith versus, but they're not opposite to each other. Faith and wisdom. If you have faith and you know how to use it, here's the way I like to give it. You, no matter what crisis, no matter what ditch you're falling into, by faith, you can't climb out of it. The Lord will pull you out anyhow, if you have faith. I mean, I don't care what the situation is. With your faith, the Bible says, all things are possible to him that believes. God will pull you out of any kind of situation, miry clay or whatever that you find yourself in, by faith. Pull you out of it. That's how faith works. By faith, you can, you know, reach out and grab the things of God, which he has already freely given us. Now, wisdom, on the other hand, will keep you from falling into that ditch in the first place. You know, sometimes when people fall into a ditch, they fast, they pray, they do all kinds of things. Wisdom could have saved you from all that fasting and praying and all that headache. Wisdom could have saved you from falling into the ditch in the first place. So that's how you look at faith versus wisdom. And then God will bless you by faith. But you need wisdom to manage that blessing. A farmer, for instance. That's another way to compete. I mean, to look at how faith and wisdom works. By wisdom, you know when you are, if you are a farmer, for instance, you can't just go begin to plant in, ground that's not fertile or, you know, just in the bush somewhere. So wisdom and some lessons teach you that you got to clear the ground. You got to do all of these things. You got to prepare, you know, for the planting season. And when you do that, and then, you know, you got to do all that. You got to till the land, do this, do that, put fertilizer, do whatever. And you got to, you know, choose the good soil. You know, wisdom teaches you all of that. And when you plant and you do everything you can by wisdom, it's still going to take faith for you to believe for the rains that God will send to give you a plentiful harvest. So they all work hand in hand. Wisdom, on the other hand, teach you all the things to do. Faith, you need faith to bring that rain. You could do all that, plant the thing, do everything you want. If God doesn't send that rain, that season is not going to be a good season for the planting or the harvest. But if God sends the rain, which it takes faith to believe for that, then you can see how they work together. So they're not opposite each other, complement each other. Hallelujah. Now, there are many things that people will wish that they had an opportunity to do over. And this is where wisdom comes into play. Sometimes people say, wow, you know, and after the fact, we try to apply wisdom and then it's a bit too late for that particular situation. However, it's never too late. You can learn something for another time, you know, but let's not use wisdom, or let's not try to look for wisdom after we've already messed up. Now we're looking for wisdom. Now we're looking for counsel. If you use counsel in the first place and you sought wisdom in the first place, he said, she is your life. She will preserve you. Your feet will not be straightened. I mean, you will not stumble. All these things in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 to 13. I mean, it will keep you in the way. Hallelujah. So let's consider some of the things and the benefits. So the way I am going to do this is the way I did it when I did it at a local church here. I would give some definitions of the pillar, and mostly some of them from either the Bible. When I call about the attributes, the definitions, I may look at it from even the dictionary, and then add my own that the Holy Spirit gave me. That's how I did it. I just put it all together. And it sounded pretty good to me, you know, when I look at it from that perspective. So I may give a definition of one of these pillars by just looking at the word from the dictionary, say, but I might add some words from the Holy Spirit and then bring it out in a better light. Then I would look at what the Bible has to say about it, and then look at some of the benefits of that pillar if you are applying it in your life. Remember, we're talking about the house that wisdom built, and she's built it upon seven pillars. We want to make sure there's no cracks in those pillars. When we look at the benefits, and if we see some areas where we are not taking advantage of those benefits, then we pray. So those are the elements. Give a definition. Give the benefits and make prayer for those to be able to apply those things in our lives. It is so rich that you're going to have to listen to this again and again. Even those who have listened to it before, you're going to find out that when I begin to say the things that you've once heard, it's like, oh, you know, you may have even forgotten, because it is so rich, this subject. Now, the fear of the Lord, we covered that already a few weeks ago. So I'm not going to go too deeply into that, but I will run through very quickly. The fear of the Lord, we are told, is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't have the fear of the Lord, you're not even on the path of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 will tell you that. Also, you can read Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 33. It's also a good verse about the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, so when we look at the fear of the Lord in the scriptures, many things come to mind. The things that come to mind are the people that have the fear of the Lord and some people that did not have the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord in the life of a man, I mean, is like a heart of gold. That's the way I put it. You know, a heart of gold, because it makes you to do the right thing. That's the fear of the Lord. Now, if you do not exercise the fear of the Lord, you may not walk right in the sight of God. You know, when we were told in the Bible about these lessons of the kings and so forth, you know, the scripture would say many things like, you know, this one walked in the ways of David, his father, and his heart was perfect, or he was not perfect in all his ways, and so on and so forth. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. That's Proverbs 15 and 33. Now, it is important for us to know that this fear of the Lord, we looked at examples. We saw the life of Joseph, for instance, when he was in Egypt. By the fear of the Lord, he did not succumb to, you know, the seduction from the wife of Potiphar. We saw the lack of fear of the Lord in the life of David when he went and looked at another man's wife. And when he found out he was somebody else's wife, you know, which one was Bathsheba, that should have been the end of it, the matter right there. That's a no-go area. You know, but it was not at that moment exercising the fear of the Lord. And so he began to imagine many things. You know, so, and you saw the end of the story. Not only did he do that great evil in going after another man's wife, you know, because of no fear of the Lord, he actually began to plot evil in his heart to get rid of the man so that he can have the woman. You all know the story. He didn't get away with it, though. The Lord dealt with him severely. Now, that was a lack of exercising of the fear of the Lord. And you have the fear of the Lord in your heart, it'll keep you from evil. Hallelujah. So the fear of the Lord sometimes is the very wisdom itself. Now, some scriptures say it is the beginning of the wisdom. Other scriptures say, well, it is even the very wisdom itself. To, for a person, when you begin to know the Lord, not just to know about him, but to what degree do we know him? That's Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The very first chapter of Proverbs, he begins to talk about this thing. Hallelujah. And he says, look, somebody that is void, Proverbs chapter 1, I'm in the wrong verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of, in this case, he calls it knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, we need wisdom. We need instruction. Remember, I'm still just giving a preamble on just a very high-level summary. We're going to get very deep into these pillars. And when you hear them, you will discover that, wow, if I use these things in my life, my goodness, your life will never be the same again. You know, if you use this right. Job chapter 28 and verse 28 says, gives us another perspective about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, according to Job chapter 28 and verse 28, he says that is the very wisdom itself. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Glory to God. So not only does he say it's the beginning of wisdom, in this place it actually says it's the very wisdom itself. I mean, that is how powerful this fear of the Lord. That's why I like to talk about it as even the very, very first pillar. Now, Lord himself longs for his people to fear him. I mean, look at how God says it in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 29. I'm taking it slow so you can catch up with me in the scriptures. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 29. Here is the Lord that is speaking here. Oh, he says. I mean, that's like the Lord is even lamenting. Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their children forever. This is the Lord himself. Longs for the people to fear him. And it's not without any reason, because here he said it will be well with you and with your children forever when you have the fear of the Lord. But when we do not exercise the fear of the Lord, we miss all these benefits. Now, I'm going to move quickly now to go through some of these other benefits. But before I do that, listen to this also. We are actually commanded to walk in the fear of the Lord. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 13 gives us a commandment to walk in the fear of the Lord. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and shall serve him. Glory to God. Likewise, also Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. We are commanded to fear the Lord. It's not just a suggestion. No, no, no. And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require? That's a commandment of thee. But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve him with all your heart and with all your souls. You know, fear the Lord is a commandment. Hallelujah. The fear of the Lord will bring you into keeping his commandments and his statutes, which the Lord has commanded us. But if we don't have that fear of the Lord, people then say, well, it doesn't matter. When people begin to say it doesn't matter, you can read that they don't have the fear of the Lord in their hearts. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verses 1 and 2, which we read the other day, it says, this is the man to whom I will look, he that is of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. The fear of the Lord is what makes us tremble at his word. But when we don't have the fear of the Lord in our heart, we just say, well, it doesn't matter. And then you just move on. Any person that says it doesn't matter at any part of the word of God, they've already missed the mark. Now, it is actually possible to walk in the fear of the Lord all the time. Not just sometimes. And, get away from the moments of carelessness, you know, like David did. But we can walk in the fear of the Lord all the time. I mean, let's look at Proverbs 23. And verse 17, glory to God. He says, let not thine heart envy sinners. Don't worry about them. But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. So we can actually walk in the fear of the Lord all the time. You know, not just sometimes, not just part of the time. we can walk in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Now, the fear of the Lord must be sought. You know, you say if you fear of the Lord, yeah, we got to seek to understand the fear of the Lord. That's one of the reasons why I'm bringing it here in this lesson. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 29 and 30. He talks about how, you know, we must seek the fear of the Lord. Glory to God. You know, he said, look, these people hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. Well, if they would have sought the fear of the Lord, he wouldn't be calling it out as a negative thing upon them. We need to seek the fear of the Lord. I'm going to give you some of the benefits in a minute. Powerful benefits. Glory to God. It has to also, not only should we seek it, we have to learn it and to teach it to our children. Have to teach the fear of the Lord. Don't just leave our children to just, you know, leave our children to chance. No. We got to teach the fear of the Lord. God said, look, I know Abraham that he will command his children after the fear of the Lord. We got to teach our children the fear of the Lord. Glory to God. You know, so here is what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 10. The Lord was talking to them that you take heed to yourself, keep your soul diligently. Don't forget the things I've told you. Let not your heart depart from it all the days of your life, but teach them to your sons. This is verse 9 of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Teach them to your sons and to your sons' sons, even to your grandchildren. Teach the fear of the Lord. What are the things, especially the day that thou stood before the Lord in Horeb? The Lord gathered you together and so forth. You know, make them to hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days of their life. You know, you shall teach it to your children. So we're supposed to teach it to our children. We should learn it first. We should seek it. And then we should teach it to our children and to our children's children. We teach the fear of the Lord. These are the things that are in the domain of the commandments that God gives to us. You know, so and we must not fail in any part of these things. You know, and some of us will find that there are cracks in many areas because we have failed in doing these things. There needs to be a desire. But before I read that one, let me read also Psalm 34. And verse 11, how that we must teach it to our children. You know, there's a lot of verses in this Bible that deal with the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 34 and verse 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So look, this is a responsibility to parents, not only to seek the fear of the Lord, to walk in the fear of the Lord, to learn it themselves, to, you know, to desire it greatly, but to teach it to our children. Hallelujah. The fear of the Lord means tremble at his word. Whatever the Lord says, anything that we know is not in right, will not put us in right standing with the Lord, you know, then we don't do it. We get away from it. There needs to be a desire in our hearts, you know, for the fear of the Lord. Nehemiah verse chapter 1, verse 11. Hallelujah. So, in this book, this Nehemiah also, some of you might know his story, but I'm not going to get into his story today, but it is sufficient to say that many people in the Bible, including this man, understood that they needed the fear of the Lord. Here's his prayer. O Lord, Nehemiah 1, verse 11, I beseech you, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, He prayed for himself and he prayed for all his brethren who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, granting mercy in the sight of the king, basically. Do you desire to fear the name of the Lord? Okay, let me pause there and read quickly the conclusion of the whole matter. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. This is how powerful the fear of the Lord is. He even calls it the conclusion of the whole matter. You know, hallelujah. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. You know, so that is why I put it out there as number one pillar. I'm going to quickly go over some benefits of this fear of the Lord. Then I will give a summary of the other pillars so we know what to expect when you come for the additional lessons. And do come and listen to the additional lessons. It'll bless your heart. Here are some benefits of the fear of the Lord. I'm going to go through this very quickly. It brings protection even by God's angels. Psalm 34 and verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear the Lord. You know, so fear of the Lord is all you need to have the angel of the Lord around you. We don't need to pray that the angel of the Lord should be around us. You just need to pray that the Lord should teach you the fear of the Lord. When you learn the fear of the Lord, that draws the angels around you automatically. Fear of the Lord in Malachi chapter 4 verse 2 guarantees healing to those that fear the Lord. But unto them that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. If you need healing, even today, well, examine yourself. Do you fear the Lord? If you do, then it's yours. Glory to God. You know, the fear of the Lord will be for our good always. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 24 to 25. I'm going through the benefits of the fear of the Lord quickly right now. Here are some other benefits for a person that feareth the Lord. He says in Psalm 112, verses 1 to 3, that your children will be mighty upon the earth. Why? Because you already taught them also the fear of the Lord. Wealth and riches shall be in your house. My goodness. Psalm 112 verses 1 to 3. Now those that fear the Lord shall be rewarded. That's in Proverbs chapter 13 verse 13. The fear of the Lord brings understanding. That's in Psalm 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord brings knowledge. That's in Proverbs 1:7, which we read before, and also Proverbs 2:5. The fear of the Lord brings riches, honor, and life. That's in Proverbs 19. Verse 23, and also Proverbs 22 and verse 4. I'm not stopping to read this. I'm just putting them out there. Because if I stop to read every one of these, we will not finish today. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Proverbs 14 and verse 27. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Wow. So there are even secrets that the Lord will show to those that fear him, which he may not show to others. That's in Psalm 25 and verse 14. The fear of the Lord gives strong confidence. Glory to God. That's Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. Why? Because when you fear the Lord, the angel of the Lord is around you. That gives you confidence. It gives strong confidence. Now, the fear of the Lord causes us to depart from evil. We already talked about that. You know, the fear of the Lord will cause us to depart from evil. There are many places in the Bible where that talks about. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 7 and 10. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6. Job 28 and verse 28. So I put out all these scriptures, and I know it's hard to keep track of all the scriptures, and I see that my wife is doing a great job trying to post all those scriptures. Thank you, honey, for that. And sometimes if you are not able to post the entire scripture quickly, you can just post the reference. And because there's a lot to go through here, you know. So it causes us to depart from evil. I gave those scriptures already. It brings us even into holiness. Can you imagine? Of course, the fear of the Lord, that's what's going to keep us from evil. And it brings us into holiness. You find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. He says, having therefore, dearly beloved, all these promises and so forth, you know, let us cleanse ourselves from the all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. So we see that in fear of the Lord brings us into holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Glory to God. You know, the fear of the Lord was even in the life of Jesus himself. As a young child, he was prophesied upon him. Isaiah 11 verses 1 to 5. You know, some of the attributes that will be found in his life. You say the fear of the Lord, you know, will be in him. He will be quick to understand the fear of the Lord. That is the kind of prayer that we should pray. Lord, make me quick in understanding the fear of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Spirit of counsel and mind. Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And the Lord shall make him quick. Of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. That's a great prayer. All of us to pray. You know, that Lord, you make me quick in understanding the fear of the Lord. Because it is so rich. The fear of the Lord brings together all these other things that are in the pillars of wisdom. We've already talked about Joseph that had the fear of the Lord. The reference for that is in Genesis 38, verses 7 to 9. We already talked about David that did not exhibit the fear of the Lord in the matter of Bathsheba and Uriah. The reference to that is 2 Samuel chapters 11 to 12. We must walk in the fear of the Lord all the time. Glory to God. When we walk in the fear of the Lord, it gives a description for, we can call it a heart of gold. That's what I call it. The fear of the Lord is a heart of gold. Here's a prayer we must pray. O Lord, teach me the fear of the Lord. Grant me the grace to walk always in the fear of the Lord. Teach it to my children and to their seed after them. You know, that's a good prayer to pray. And we'll find it in Proverbs 23 and verse 17. To call upon the Lord to teach us the fear of the Lord. You know, if the Lord were to visit you and say, ask me anything, any one thing, you know, what is it that you would ask? Well, I would recommend ask the Lord for a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Once you have that, every other thing will be at your doorsteps. You know, so the fear of the Lord, you know, all the day long, must never get away from it. So that's the first of the pillars. Let me give a quick summary. I'm not going to go into all the other pillars. I already did a full lesson on the fear of the Lord before, so that's why I just joined that one into this summary. Next time around, we'll call out each one of these pillars. But let me give you a quick highlight on what to expect in the rest of these pillars. Powerful. We're going to be talking about prudence. It's a powerful pillar of wisdom. I think that one is actually one of my favorite. And I'm going to take a whole lesson just to talk about that one. Then we're going to be talking about knowledge. Another favorite of mine. There's so many things about prudence. You know, the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, all these things. Prudence gives us understanding about how to manage our health, wealth, everything. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get into it, you know. When we're going to get into knowledge, knowledge is also one of the pillars. You know, we're going to talk about knowledge. Bible says, by knowledge, the chambers of the house are filled with precious and pleasant things. And talk about that. It's going to be amazing. If we have knowledge. And the kind of knowledge that God gives. Knowledge that we can use to find treasures that are even hidden. We're going to be talking about that. You know, and we're going to be talking about how knowledge is the king. When you're talking about, you know, in the corridors of influence, knowledge is the king. We're going to talk about that. You know, I learned that phrase from somebody, but I thought it was good. In the corridors of influence, knowledge is the king. We're going to see how knowledge and great things, I mean, our knowledge brought greatness to many people. We're going to talk about the knowledge of the glory of God, the knowledge of the Son of God, and so on and so forth. Knowledge is key to all these things. We're going to talk about some things to know about knowledge. Then we're going to talk about counsel. Oh, I don't know which one of them is my favorite, because they all seem like favorites. Counsel, my goodness. Counsel is at the very core of the pillars of wisdom. You know, if you have counsel, you know, and it comes from the Lord, you know, not just counsel of how to counsel others, but counsel for yourself. You know, it's amazing. We're going to see how counsel promotes people. Glory to God. You know, so some of the things that we were taught in the Bible, like, you know, the promotion that Joseph got in Egypt. People thought it was his dream of interpretation. It wasn't his dream at all. I mean, the gift of interpretation of dreams. It wasn't his gift of interpretation of dreams. It was his counsel. The interpretation of dreams brought him before Pharaoh. Quite all right. But it was the counsel that he gave. And Pharaoh said, look, where can we find a man so discreet that has this kind of counsel? There's nobody else but you, you know. And amazing counsel that people gave in the Bible and how it brought in tremendous promotion. I'm going to also drop some things about, you know, if you use counsel right in your life, they will never be able to lay you off on your job. I'm going to talk about that. You want to hear that. We want to talk about understanding. You know, when we talk about understanding, I call it also, you know, could also be called insight. Amazing things. You know, amazing. I mean, I say it all the time when I start to teach or preach. You know, I say, you know, the entrance of God's word, brings light and gives understanding to the simple. I think I say it almost every day. I'm going to talk about some of my favorite things about understanding. I'm going to talk about insight. I'm going to talk about hindsight. We're going to talk about foresight. You want to hear some laws that we're going to give you there. Amazing things. You know, and one of my very favorite scriptures on the inspiration of the Almighty out of Job 32, verse 8, how that can give you understanding in your spirit. I'm going to talk about that. Call out some examples. Then we'll talk about discretion. Hallelujah. Discretion. Powerful. Powerful. You know, somebody that doesn't have discretion. Scripture even talks about a woman that doesn't have discretion, no matter how beautiful they are. Proverbs 11:22. It says, well, I'm not even going to go there, but you can read it yourself. You know, so we're going to talk about how it preserves us from evil. We're going to talk about, you know, the how people need to use discretion, you know, in the need to know or not. Most people don't have discretion. They just open their mouth, say anything that they don't need to say. Somebody tells you something, you tell it to somebody else that they don't need to know, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how it can help you keep your spirit from getting into, you know, an angry mode and all that. Discretion, powerful stuff. And we're going to talk about sound judgment. My goodness. These are all the pillars. Talk about sound judgment. Talk about when to learn to say no. Tell you some things in the lessons of some of the parables of Jesus and all that, you know, and even some of these things, how it can bring promotion and honor. I can even help you preserve your life and your marriage. You know how to use these things, you know, but if you don't, then there will be cracks, you know. So again, let me go through quickly. Here are the pillars that we're going to be talking about. Seven pillars. I already covered one quickly today, the fear of the Lord. So there is the fear of the Lord, and then there is the knowledge, there's understanding, there's prudence, there's discretion, there's counsel, there's sound judgment. This is my own set of seven pillars. You may listen to other preachers. They may have their own set, and that's fine. We all gain knowledge from each other. I've actually even heard somebody that preached that the, what I call the attributes of wisdom in James, those were the seven pillars. Well, I mean, that's okay too, but those were just the attributes. These are the seven pillars right here. So I encourage you to come back and listen to this. I think we'll pick another pillar tomorrow. Not sure which one. But then I'm going to get into the practical lessons. Now, wisdom is about being practical. It's about being real. It's not, you know, and even faith is not abstract. Faith is a substance. It's real. But we're going to use wisdom in some of these things. Even, you know, I mean, prudence and how to manage. I mean, sometimes God blesses somebody tremendously, but through lack of wisdom, mismanagement, and so forth, the end state is worse than even the first. So we're going to be talking about all these things. So you want to come back. Now, here is our lesson for today. I want you to know the seven pillars that we're going to be covering here. You should be able to remember them. You can use my acronym or use your own. My acronym is KUPDCSF. Not necessarily cover them in all that order, but it kind of sounds good. So you should know what K is for. You should know what U is for. You should know what P is for. You should know what D is for. You should know what C is for. You should know what S. S is sound judgment. I'm not calling it sound wisdom because you can't use wisdom to describe wisdom. So it's sound judgment and the fear of the Lord. So these are the things that we're going to be covering. When we finish this series, you yourself will be equipped not only to use these lessons in your life, to teach them to your children and your children's children but to teach them to others. Hallelujah. And to begin to use these things. Use discretion in your affairs. Use prudence in your affairs. Gather knowledge. Glory to God. Use counsel. Counsel is hidden. A man of understanding will draw it out. You know, I mean, when we talk about understanding, we're going to talk about insight. We're going to talk about hindsight. We're going to talk about foresight. I'm going to give you some laws that deal with those things. And then when we talk about sound judgment, we talk about the ability to, the understanding to know when to say no. Hallelujah. You know, just whet your appetite on that. Jesus gave a parable, you know, for the foolish and wise virgins. The wise virgins knew when to say no. We'll talk more deeply about that. You know, some people don't know how to say no. You know, people will even tell you that when you say no, it means you don't have love. And Jesus told this parable, folks, there are times you got to say no. People don't know how to do that. And you get into a lot of problems. People don't know how to manage their finances. And God bless you with some tremendous blessing. You go on a shopping spree, squander everything. We're going to be talking about that. And then you began to be in want. Anytime that God gives you more than you need, there's a reason for it. And people don't know, understand that. They think it's, oh, you know, so that I should go on a shopping spree. No. Why would God need to give you more than you need? We're going to talk about two reasons why he does that. And more and more and more, we're going to talk about how to manage your health. You know, how to manage your business. You know, how to protect your assets. I mean, it's amazing all the things that we're going to cover. So those are just a foretaste of what's coming. So we will invite you to come back and visit and listen more and more to this. I'm going to end it right there. That's today's lesson. A summary of the house that wisdom is, I mean, has built, and the seven pillars upon which they are founded. I mean, upon which the house is founded. Again, this house that's supported by pillars, when you see the cracks, if you look in your house right now, I remember when we first moved to this house that we're living in now, many, many years ago, the builders told us that we may see some cracks because he said it's because the house is settling down. It actually has a basement and things like that. I said, well, you know, it's going to take a while for it to settle upon its foundation and things like that. And you may see some cracks. Well, those cracks, if you don't, you know, take care of those cracks, they can become something else. So the cracks that are in our lives through a lack of understanding and a lack of exercising of these pillars, those are the gaps that God wants us to close in this series. And I thought upon it. I was actually going to go on to something else, but I thought upon it. I prayed about it. Holy Spirit said, yeah, do it. So I'm doing it in this room here. So that's our lesson for today. Glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. The house that wisdom built and her seven pillars. There's many more and much more, you know, many more gems and much more to come from the Lord when we cover these pillars. And you don't want to miss it. So let me leave it there. And thank you all for being here. Welcome. Good morning or good afternoon. And welcome to the room.